Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by IGB Live, the home of the iGaming community, July 16th through 19th at the Rye, Amsterdam. For more information, visit igblive.com. This week we sit down with Rob Norton, the president of Cordish Gaming, about the expansion of the company's live casino brand, and he also pays tribute to his father, a gaming pioneer. Rob Norton comes from great gaming roots. His father, Steve Norton, played a pivotal role in the expansion of gaming, starting in Atlantic City, spreading to the Midwest, and then around the world. Rob Norton joined Cordish Gaming Group in 2011 as president of Maryland Live, and later was appointed president of the entire group. With casinos now in Maryland and Philadelphia, the company recently bought the former Diamond Jacks Casino in Bossier City that is transforming into Louisiana Live and won a license to run a casino in Petersburg, Virginia. He explains why the company recently opposed the introduction of iGaming into Maryland and what that would mean for the casino there. This podcast was done right before it was announced the company won the Petersburg license when he spoke with me during a break at the East Coast Gaming Congress at the Hard Rock Atlantic City in April. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Rob Norton, the president of Cordish Gaming. Rob, good to see you. We're here at the East Coast Gaming Congress. You just gave a presentation, and a little scary sometimes when you talk about the Eastern gambling market.
Yeah, no, first of all, thank you, Roger, for having me. It's great to be here. As you know, I grew up in Atlantic That's City right. and around this area, so always nice to come home and, you know, a little special on this particular
sure.
visit for us.
Yeah,
so.
No question. And, you know, we're going to honor your father. He was such a visionary in this industry, and rightly so, to be honored at such a stage.
Yeah, I think it's was a great opportunity, and the folks that run the East Coast Gaming Congress were unbelievably hospitable and
sure.
suggesting that this is a good spot, and we love it, so thank you. Well, thank them all.
Those guys go back as far as we do. So.
That's right.
So that's a great thing. So let's talk about Cordish. It's been a busy year. You've had a lot of things going on. Let's talk about the one. Let's start with the one in Louisiana where you're taking over the former Diamond Jacks Casino in Bossier City. There were a few organizations that went through their hands. And what did you see there that made it so attractive to Cordish?
So what's interesting is this is actually another story for me coming home. I was one of the original Isle of Capri properties back
okay,
when I was with
right.
Isle.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, after Hurricane Katrina, had an opportunity to live in that hotel
okay.
that's there for about 6 months while the company was recovering after Katrina. So I knew the property, I knew the market mm-hmm. Very well. We knew the Foundation Gaming guys who
right.
were all ex
mm-hmm.
Isle of Capri
right.
executives, and so we started talking about how we could work together on that opportunity, and you know, one thing led to another, and you know, at the same time, Texas Live
right.
In Arlington mm-hmm. was starting to just take off, and
right.
the growth has been unbelievable. I hope you got to see that Super Bowl clip
yeah.
that I guess it was a World Series clip,
series,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah right.
And so we started to recognize that the brand Live down mm-hmm. there in the Dallas Fort Worth area is starting to get some real power, and we saw the opportunity to bring that into
sure.
the western side of Louisiana
mm-hmm.
and take advantage
sure.
of what's great bones in the old Isle Diamond Jacks
sure,
property.
Sure. So will this Live, are you going to call it Live Bossier City? Or
It's Live Louisiana.
Okay, Live, that's I like that alliteration
yeah.
there, good. So is that going to have all the elements that a Live property has in Pennsylvania and Maryland?
Yeah, actually the casino and the dining and entertainment will have a similar feel to our Philadelphia Live. Will be
mm-hmm.
the first land-based casino in the market.
Right.
We will have exceptional dining and entertainment options. We're going to bring the PBR Cowboy Bar to
mm-hmm. okay,
to
yep.
Eastern Texas and Western Louisiana. And I think the idea is to bring the Cordish entertainment DNA into that
sure.
Bossier City market. And you know, let's see how we do bringing some land-based casino vibe
right.
to the space.
Sure, sure. So that's a very competitive market, however. I mean,
yeah.
you've got some really good operators in Bossier City and across the river in Shreveport. I mean, how are you going to try to gain market share there?
So Listen, first of all, I think competition is so important. I think anytime you have competition, you strive to make your product better, your sure. delivery better. And so, you know, we welcome the opportunity to compete against Caesars and Penn and, mm-hmm. and the others that are there in the market. And, you know, I think one thing that we do have is we have a very distinct DNA that the Live brand brings.
Right. And,
you know, it's not going to be a snap of the finger and we're there.
Sure, right.
But we will, I think we'll be a formidable presence in the market pretty okay. quickly because of our commitment to service and entertainment and, mm-hmm. and how we do what we do.
Sure, absolutely. So you're hoping that connection with the Arlington Live will draw people from Texas. Obviously, the biggest market in Bossier City is from the Texans coming across the river there.
Yeah, I think Texas Live has been building the Live brand presence mm-hmm. Now for a number of years and doing so in a fantastic way. You know, when you mention Texas Live to anyone in that area, their eyes light up. Like,
right,
is that
yeah.
what you're going to do? And
mm-hmm.
and so that's a great starting position
sure.
to have. So, yeah, we do think there's synergies there.
Mm-hmm.
We do expect to leverage the brand equity that our Texas Live mm-hmm. operation has built and see if we can bring some of that equity into Louisiana.
Sure, sure. So the good news is Texas is the main market. The bad news is Texas is the main market because now they're considering legalizing gaming over there. Las Vegas Sands has already started a campaign. Are you worried about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think any time that you are in a market like Bossier City and mm-hmm. that's counting on Tyler and other parts of Texas as part of their revenue stream, you have to be concerned. I do think, though, that there's a lot of complexity to get something through and, you know, we'll be open in less than a year now. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, our goal is to focus on what we can control in front of us and
right.
to deliver the best experience that we can deliver. And, you know, we think if we do this, that the returns and the opportunity for a solid investment will play out
okay.
Just fine.
So they had a hotel there. How many rooms is that?
So it's about 570 rooms.
Okay, so it's a big hotel.
Yeah.
So are you redoing all the rooms?
Everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so
the hotel.
Basically, it'll be a brand new property. Then.
It's a brand new property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the garage is going to be being completely repainted
right.
and redone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, although there was great bones,
right.
when you walk in there, you're not going to see anything that will remind you of Live
right.
or Diamond Jack's.
Right.
It will be soup to nuts. It'll be across the board Live.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And your Philadelphia property is so great looking. If that's
yeah.
what you're modeling after.
Yeah. I think
there.
In many ways it's going to be a step up from Philly.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. You learned something in Philly. And
that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So last week you proposed a casino in Petersburg, Virginia. This is across the river from Richmond where you would just lost out in the previous in their bid to get a casino there, which never happened. So what did you learn in Richmond that you applied in Petersburg?
Well, I mean, I think we're proud of what we had put forth in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely thought that we had the best proposal, and you know, we respect the city's decision, and they
mm-hmm.
you know, they went forward with another operator, and unfortunately they were not able to pass the referendum twice,
right. Yeah.
And the second time was even more convincing
right.
by tenfold the vote
right,
count
yeah.
that the first one was as far as in opposition. And so I think the state, rightfully so, after hearing from the constituents twice that they don't
mm-hmm.
want a casino in Richmond, they decided to put forth legislation to move it to Petersburg. You know, we are excited about the opportunity in Petersburg. We definitely have, without a doubt, the best site
mm-hmm.
Location. In our opinion, we have the best proposal in
right.
front of the state and
mm-hmm.
the city to consider. And, you know, but we're still not all the way there through
right.
the legislature. As of right now, April 17th,
right.
the state is in session right
mm-hmm.
now dealing with the reenactment clause
right. okay.
and the amendments from the governor. And so we'll learn a little bit later today whether or not we're able, where the process is
right.
as far as moving forward in Petersburg.
Okay.
But left to the city and left to the voters, we feel very confident that we have a fantastic project
right.
for
and
them.
There will be another referendum in Petersburg then.
If the legislation is passed and the
mm-hmm.
city makes their selection, there can be a referendum as early as this November.
Okay.
But there still needs to be a bunch of things that happen
sure.
for it to work out
sure.
that way.
Okay. One of the things I found interesting is you're partnering with former NFL star Bruce Smith, the big Buffalo Bills star, and he also played for my Washington Redskins. So, but he played at Virginia Tech in college, so he has a connection to Virginia. Do you think that's going to help?
Well, listen, I've known Bruce now for probably 4 or 5 years. He was partnering with us in Richmond. Mm-hmm. He's been part of the team the whole way. I can tell you he's just an amazing man,
right?
Incredibly shrewd and smart businessman, mm-hmm. along with just a warmth and hospitality. So, you know, partnering him is an easy decision,
right?
Because mm-hmm. he brings so much to the table. You know, I think the hardest part is I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, and I watched all those hits against Dan Marino
right,
for the
yeah,
years,
right,
and
that's
hard to when I'm sitting down to dinner or having a drink with him. That's hard right. to forgive him for. But he's a great guy,
yeah.
and really his co-developer. You know, he's a 50-50 partner in mm-hmm. the deal,
right.
And helping to develop and co-developing the deal. So we do think it adds tremendous power to the team, really, because he's a local Virginia
right.
resident, and he lives in Virginia today, mm-hmm. and he's got a consortium of people that are part of his investment team
right.
there that are all Virginia residents, and really it's part of us ensuring that when we are moving forward that Virginia's got a seat at the table
right, right.
in what's developed and how we operate.
Right. It sounds like he's got a lot of business acumen as well as being a former football player.
Right, he definitely does. He is. We can use the pun. He is a force.
Right,
right.
No question. So, also last year there was a move to legalize casino gaming in North Carolina. Almost happened, but not quite. Do you think that's going to come back at some point?
You know, I don't know where things are going to go in North Carolina. You know, they just launched sports betting
right. mm-hmm.
digitally. You know, they're still in the infancy of rolling that out. And I think we'll see how things progress there.
Sure.
But it's not something that at this point we're putting
right.
Wagers down
right.
on.
And now you have two tribes opposing it rather than just one. So, yeah, that's going to be a little difficult for sure. So let's talk about the casinos that are operating. And we mentioned Philadelphia, so let's start there. It's really doing gangbusters, you know, and what a great location it is in the stadium district in Philadelphia. I'm sure during the baseball playoffs last year, you did gangbusters during the NFL playoffs, and you're just entering into the NBA playoffs, which they didn't make, right? The Sixers, unfortunately, but it's a great location, and you know, right off at 95 there, and I know Joe Bilheimer's running it for you, a great operator. So, what's your expectation for that going forward?
So we are finally really starting to hit our stride in both of our Pennsylvania assets, mm-hmm. but particularly Philadelphia, which got off to a little bit of a rocky start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Craig Clark and the team there running that property have been able to lean in on the entertainment and the DNA of
right.
our brand, and are starting to make real inroads. We're mm-hmm. starting to see our market share grow. We're starting to see our penetration into the surrounding markets grow.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of good things moving in the right direction. And the complexity that is both the benefit and the challenge
sure.
is working in the stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're starting to get our arms around that
right.
whole complexity as well. So I think the sky's the limit for Philadelphia, and we will continue to see movement. I think, you know, our biggest hurdle our biggest challenge or our threat in the Philadelphia market really is kind of the legislative uncertainty that occurs
right.
from time to
right.
time. In Pittsburgh, you know, on the other side of the state, you know, they came out of the gate hot
mm-hmm.
and they just have never looked back.
Right,
and so,
yeah.
you know, we continue to see that. And, you know, we think there's opportunities to potentially grow that property in that market. But
mm-hmm.
we'll see how things shake out in Harrisburg.
Sure. Yeah, and the Pittsburgh is a surprise to how well you're doing there.
I think we always thought it was a fantastic
right.
market, but I think it's exceeded our expectations.
Sure, sure. And of course, your first casino. And I don't want to say your first casino because people tend to forget that you guys developed the Seminole Casino in Florida many years ago, originally. So I don't want to say that's your first casino, but it's really your first modern casino now, and it's doing very well in Maryland. It's one of the leaders in the state in revenue, and the location again, right next to the Anne Arundel Mall, is fantastic. So how's that going?
I mean, we built the hotel expansion, the event center expansion, late 2018, moving into 19. The mm-hmm. hall opened up, literally the month before COVID hit and shut us down. So, we had this window where we had all these new assets, but we really hadn't had them all ready and mm-hmm. willing to contribute yet because then when COVID came back, we came back in a diminished way because of the regulations. Right. So last year in 2023 was really the first year where we got to see the entire operation running as it was contemplated mm-hmm. From all the development, and it was a wow, wow.
Right.
And so 2024 we're getting to refine a little bit because we learned a lot in 2023. Sure. So, we're still seeing substantial growth in Maryland. I think we're going to have another fantastic year in Maryland. I think as long as we can manage not to hurt ourselves through risky legislation in Maryland, we're going to see a very healthy growth in from that property as well.
Okay, great. IGB Live is the industry's favorite iGaming show, home to over 9,000 of the world's most influential and pioneering iGaming professionals. There is just no better place to connect with the entire iGaming ecosystem if you are looking to meet iGaming operators, affiliates, suppliers, and game developers. IGB Live is the place you need to be. Join us for the last ever IGB Live in Amsterdam before we move to London. For more information, visit igblive.com. So I just heard you talking in there about sports betting. We have online sports betting now in Maryland. I was surprised to hear you say that it really actually hurt your casino when the online element came on.
Yeah,
explain how that happened.
Yes, so in Maryland, when they passed the law, they did it in a way that the online took longer to launch than the bricks and mortar. So we were able to get the bricks and mortar sports betting up and running really quickly, and we had about a year head start where mm-hmm. we had retails. Sports betting before digital sports betting started. And during that year, we saw unbelievable impact. There were lines, mm-hmm. Hundreds of people long every Sunday trying to make bets on football. And there were, we saw substantial revenue growth from sports betting. But as we had predicted and as we had been telling people, mm-hmm. there was a lot of growth in table games and to a little bit lesser extent mm-hmm. slots.
Right.
But growth in both sides, poker as well. And food and beverage was up, and it really was a kind of across the board because it drove, on average across the state, somewhere like 7,000 additional people across the state on average a day.
Right. Yeah.
That came into the casinos, and those people, they bought a beer, they bought a burger.
Sure. Right.
They dropped $20 on the table games mm-hmm. when they walked by, and we had predicted that, but there really wasn't a way to prove that because no one else had deployed it this way. Well, if you go study Maryland, it proved it out. Mm-hmm. It actually happened because what we were able to see is we were able to track those players that were playing sports betting back through our loyalty system and see mm-hmm. that they really were crossing over and they were really doing those things. And then you flash forward a year later, digital comes online. And all of a sudden, sports betting in the retail environment is down 65% across mm-hmm. the whole state. We're worse than that. Yeah. It's down 65 across the whole state, and that's really off the foot traffic. Footfall fell, and we declined in footfall. And for the first time in 10 years, excluding COVID, mm-hmm. we saw table games revenue and slot revenue. Table games revenue decline and slot revenues mm-hmm. go flat. We have been seeing unprecedented growth prior to that, and so. It definitely showed that There was a when you had it in the retail environment, and then you went and brought in digital after the fact, that there was an exodus of visitation from the casino as a result of that.
Okay. So Maryland also this year considered adding iGaming to the mix, and you had a did that influence the way you thought whether you would support iGaming or not?
Yeah, it definitely was part of the mm-hmm. influence. You know, we looked at that, and we did our own studies across the country on the limited states that have added mm-hmm. iGaming, and you know, as we studied the iGaming market again with no agenda, because you know we're in iGaming,
sure,
so
absolutely.
We in Pennsylvania we opened iGaming. I think before we opened the casinos,
right?
You know, and so we have no agenda in the thought process. But as we studied it, we kept coming back to there was a clear cannibalization mm-hmm. that was happening in the casinos. And you know, when you start to think about the reasons why we do what we do, you know, we create destinations that are centers for people to gather. Mm-hmm. We create community centers.
Right.
We create opportunities for jobs and advancement and life changing.
Right.
And so we started to see that we think this type of business is detrimental to our core business and the DNA and the reasons we do the core businesses are potentially at risk, and it made us concerned about whether the quick dollar was worth the grab,
right?
Versus
sure.
staying the course mm-hmm. on the long term vision.
Okay, great. So another thing that may impact your revenues would be smoking ban. Now you operate a casino in Maryland where there's no indoor smoking, and a casino in Pennsylvania where they allow indoor smoking. As a former dealer, I'm a strong smoking ban advocate, just knowing the health impact that it has on employees. There's a lot of studies now that show that it doesn't really impact, not a lot of, there's few studies that show it doesn't impact the revenue as much as it used to. Where are you going on that? If there is a smoking ban that implemented in Pennsylvania, do you have plans for that?
So, listen, this is such a tough conversation because I'm a non-smoker myself,
right.
and so is everybody in my family, and so you know, we definitely prefer non-smoking environments ourselves. However, you know, there is still clear evidence that the smoking spaces in our casinos in Pennsylvania and our outdoor smoking patio in Maryland still outperform the non-smoking
right,
spaces
sure.
pretty dramatically.
Right.
And so, you know, if you were to take an approach where you let the people vote with their wallets,
yeah.
you know, like capitalism at its finest. You would say don't kill the smoking in these spaces because
right.
they're showing that that's where people want to spend their money. I think the biggest risk associated with where things are going is it's not whether it's a ban or not. We've been very successful in Maryland with, mm-hmm. without a ban, but Maryland has no direct close access competition
right.
that people can choose
sure.
where
right.
smoking is. So you either go to the casino with no smoking
right.
or you don't go to a casino,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the closest casino that has smoking from our facility is over an hour away.
Yeah, sure.
So I think in Philadelphia and maybe a little bit lesser extent, but even in Pittsburgh, you know, the biggest concern is if Pennsylvania moves forward with smoking ban before New Jersey
right.
or before the neighboring states, I think there is going to be a substantial loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they somehow figure out how to all move together
right.
in sync,
sure.
you might be right that the impact will be less than what we might have thought
right.
originally.
Well, Pennsylvania and New Jersey are really the only two states left on the East Coast that allow smoking.
Right.
So, you know, if they both go together, I think that would make
West Virginia
sense.
Went back to it too, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
yeah,
that's possible too. So let's go back to the corporate culture. I know that the the Cordish company, you know, always had a great corporate culture with developing the live projects even before casinos. They developed, you know, it's a family-owned company, and I think that's what makes it special. But how do you transfer that corporate culture when you open in a new place like Louisiana or Virginia?
That is a great question, and it's actually one of the few things that keep me up at night when we start to develop these new projects, particularly as we move further and further away from our core center. Sure. And I think the answer is you know, we pride ourselves on moving people up through the organization. So, you know, as we move forward, you have to find leaders within our organization that are willing to move into these new markets, and they bring the history and the culture and the attitude of the company with them. And then it's imperative on us to find people that match us, you know, that live and have the right DNA to fit who we are, as opposed to, you know, to hiring just strictly based on resume. And we do a pretty good job of that. We go out and we really, you know, our interview process is, you know, it's sometimes 8 hours, it's sometimes 16 hours.
Sure, right?
And you interview with everybody. Yeah. And everybody has a different thought and a different opinion of how you fit. And we listen to all of that before we make selections, particularly in the leadership role. So that's one of the biggest concerns I have, Roger.
Sure,
We will work very, very hard to make sure that we stay true to our DNA.
Well, one of the things I always admired with the Southern casinos is that they have that Southern hospitality built right into them. So I don't think you're going to have that problem in Bossier City.
No, I think that's a very, very good point. When you're in Louisiana, and I lived there for a number of years, the people are so wonderfully warm, and they are such a genuinely nice and Bossier and Shreveport market. That market itself, you know, we've been welcomed with open arms. So exactly what you're talking about, the hospitality, it's there. And so it's really just getting the rest of our culture outside of that warmth into it, which, you know, it includes the competitive spirit and some of the other things that we pride ourselves on.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to wrap it up by returning to your father, Steve Norton. Steve, he was one of my mentors early on. He taught me a lot about gaming. Whenever I had a question, I could call him up, and he talked to me for a half an hour, you know, if I asked one question. But
if you got lucky if it was only a half an hour,
exactly, right? Well, he was such a visionary. So clearly from this interview, you're becoming a visionary in your own right. So how do you feel responsible for kind of carrying on that legacy?
Well, first of all, the fact that you mentioned me in the same sentence as far as the visionary aspect of my father, it might be the biggest compliment I've been paid. So I appreciate that. You know, I had the opportunity as a kid, you know, when I was in high school, to work with my father and understand how he looked at new markets, and he you know, he brought out his green bars that he used to do his market studies on, which is amazing because he was doing what we now do on our gravity models.
Yeah.
You know, he did by hand when he was looking at these new markets. And one of my best memories is you know, of kind of me understanding the business, what my father did is when he was looking at expanding into states down the riverboat market, and he handed me all his green bars and said, "There's got to be a better way now." And he asked me to write my first program in the gaming industry at 17, which was a gravity model based upon his green bars.
Sure.
And it was such an awesome learning experience. So, you know, I don't think I can try to live up to what my father has done. Yeah. I think for me, it's just. You know, doing what I do, being the man that he raised me to be, and doing it with a company that fits the vision and the ethics and the environment in which I truly believe in. And I think the Cordish Companies is all that. My father introduced me to David, how I got the job with the Cordish Companies way back when. And so, you know, he knew the company was the right fit for me. And,
sure.
I'm actually getting a little choked up thinking, you know, talking about this, but you know, he's going to be missed, and I appreciate you bringing that up.
Well, another aspect that just occurred to me when he kind of semi-retired. Of course, he never retired, but he did. He was probably the first one to do gaming news story aggregations, because you used to get a huge email from you every day with links to gaming news stories, and that was something that before any of these other sites ever came out with, I kept on getting his emails.
That's right. I remember that. And there's a Michael Pollack. I some of the folks that have been around and know my father for a long period of time, sent us testimonial videos that were just so moving. And, Michael Pollack said something in his testimonial that couldn't be more true for me. And he said, if it wasn't for folks like Steve Norton, there'd be many of us today living a very, very different life than what we're able to enjoy by having the expansion in gaming that we've been able to ride. And I am absolutely at the top of that list. Without him, I'd be teaching tennis at a country club somewhere or doing something like that. Right.
Great. Well, I'm glad we're going to get to honor him here at the East Coast Gaming Congress. And congratulations on all you've accomplished at Cordish Gaming. And you've got a lot of still to accomplish. And we'll check back with you after the Petersburg and the Louisiana one opens up.
Thank you, Andrew. It's always a pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGB Live, the home of the iGaming community, July 16th through 19th at Rye, Amsterdam. For more information, visit igblive.com. To learn more about the topics we discussed today, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. Oh,